Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine and the daughter of William Vandenhoevel, who has left us at 91. But we recover his life and his work, political life, working from the 1960s until I met him in the 21st century. He was still working, talking about the New Deal and Roosevelt and the Kennedys. And Katrina, a very good evening to you. Of course, your loss of your father is significant in all our lives because he represented an era that was transformative in America. You and I lived through it as young people, but he lived through it as a grown-up, as an adult.
He did.
He was a Kennedy fellow. What did the Kennedys mean in the 1960s to young political America? Good evening to you, Katrina.
Good evening. Let me just step back for a moment, if I could. He was also from an immigrant family, father one of 18 from Zeeland, Holland, his mother, a cleaning woman from Lithuania, Belgium, who came here after the World War One, so bloody. His mentors, if I could step back for a minute, because this relates to the Kennedys, very different. One was Roger Baldwin, who founded the American Civil Liberties Union, an institution which continues to play a major role in our life. His other mentor was Wild Bill Donovan, perhaps the most awarded World War One soldier, who founded the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which played an important role in World War II, later became the CIA, though my father not involved with that. But you had in Roger Baldwin a conscientious objector to World War One and the most acclaimed war hero in Donovan. So that played a major role in my father's life. He moved into the Kennedy years. He campaigned with John F. Kennedy when my father ran against John Lindsay, who later became mayor of New York. In 1960, my father ran for what's called the Silk Stocking District in New York City. And I think he did so with the idealism and the belief of how honorable public service can be, which I think is what, at the best of the Kennedy years, was a sense of idealism about what this country could be. Many young people coming to Washington, believing in government's role to improve the condition of people's lives. And there was the civil rights era. My father played a role in that. I can speak to that. But there was also a sense of possibility, which, you know, the younger people on the call, and even myself, I mean, these years are tumultuous, the ones we're living in. But if you think of the assassinations in 63, November 22, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, I mean, this was a fractious, tumultuous time. And my father lived through that and was deeply saddened, of course, by the assassinations. But he spent time working with Bobby Kennedy in the Justice Department in very interesting ways.
Yes, civil rights. Your father worked in Justice 62 to 64. And he was
he worked, John, in a case that ultimately became part of Brown versus Board of Education, the landmark civil rights decision by the Supreme Court. He was a special assistant to Attorney General Robert Kennedy. He joined in 62, as you said, the Justice Department. And in Virginia, which is, I think, better understood today as a site of, quote, massive resistance, where it began, there was a 1951 walkout by black students. It's the first chapter of Taylor Branch's extraordinary trilogy of the civil rights movement, which led to a lawsuit that ultimately became part of Brown. Local officials in Farmville in Prince Edward County, Virginia, closed the county's public schools rather than accept a federal order to desegregate. Public schools wouldn't reopen for 5 years in that county. And for one and a half years, my father spent every day almost shuttling between D.C. and Virginia, charged by by Attorney General Bobby Kennedy to create the integrated Prince Edward County free schools. And I think it's particularly resonant. I went back with my father on the 50th anniversary of the launch of the case, and it was that night we stayed overnight in one of the Prince Edward County homes, we watched President Obama give his first State of the Union. And at a time when we face, you know, white nationalism, racial violence, that quest for justice and violence was something that not only did he always speak of, but I think it's become subject of several books, documentaries. And there is a landmark site in Prince Edward County called Moton School, which is now on the Civil Rights Tour, and people should go. It's really very powerful and needed in these times.
After the assassination of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy was all eyes on for the future, and your father was very close to Robert Kennedy. What did Robert Kennedy mean to America between that ovation he received at the Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City in 1964 and his death in June of 65? What did he represent, Katrina?
In June of, June of 68.
Yes, thank you.
But your listeners should watch that ovation. It's one of the most extraordinary scenes in American political life. I think it was 26 minutes, and he's tears in his eyes. But, you know, Bobby Kennedy became someone who spoke to the possibility of a multiracial America, of beliefs that the poor could live in dignity and have a shared prosperity in this country. He spoke again to the idealism his brother at his best had represented. I'll never forget, there's another extraordinary speech where he is, I believe it's in Indianapolis, isn't it, John, where he learns of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination.
That's my memory, but I have to check it. So go,
Of a car. And he, you know, what's extraordinary about the scene is also today we learn the things so quickly, nanosecond. But he spoke to the crowd and they gasped. They didn't know. And he walked them through the grief he had felt for his brother and the grief and sadness he felt for King's loss, for the loss of King. And people trusted him. I think there was a trust. Of course, he represented his brothers, the best of his brother's legacy. But I do think we've seen this through history, John. My father, of course, has worked to secure the legacy of the Roosevelts. I think, as with Franklin Roosevelt's fight with polio, which made him more empathetic toward the more vulnerable, I think Bobby Kennedy's grief, which my father said he'd never seen grief like that when he visited the White House the day after the assassination of his brother, John Kennedy, moved Bobby Kennedy to be quite different than the Bobby Kennedy who had served, you know, on the Joe McCarthy committee. He was on the Democratic side, but who had been viewed as ruthless. I'm sure he remained a tough politician, but there was a side of him that, because of his brother John's assassination, was able to travel to Appalachia, was able to go to South Africa and speak in the ways he did to attract people who really were moved by him. I think my mother did an interview with someone very close to Martin Luther King Jr., who said that they were, before his assassination, King was preparing to endorse Bobby Kennedy, which would have made a big difference, I think.
Katrina's mother's Jean Stein, who left us recently.
Jean Stein.
Yes. He worked for Jimmy Carter at the UN. What were the challenges in those days, Katrina?
Oh, well, you know, no, he was still my father in the circle, the Kennedy circle, and Arthur Schlesinger Jr., a friend of my father's, just didn't like Carter, the evangelical religious piece. Ted Sorensen, I believe, introduced the Kennedy speechwriter, John F. Kennedy speechwriter, introduced Carter to my father. And, you know, he thought he was someone in that post-Nixon period who was interesting. And Jimmy Carter, you know, was famous, and may he continue to be with us, but he would carry his own bags. He was very abstemious, very frugal, and he stayed at my father's. I mean, Rosalind stayed at someone else's apartment. No one knew who he was. There were six people at the first lunch. But Carter, I think, was of that time. I think he's the best living ex-president. He was not suited to be a president who inspired. I think there was something off, but he inspires by his life today. My father was deputy UN ambassador to Geneva for 2 years, which was he cared deeply about the United Nations and its possibility of ending the scourge of war, which is how it was founded. He then came back to New York City to be the deputy UN ambassador, with Don McHenry being the ambassador. It happened very quickly, because your listeners may forget this, but Andrew Young, a major civil rights figure who had been appointed by Carter to the UN, had a secret meeting with the Palestinians to discuss possibility of peace, and the outrage was such that Carter felt he couldn't keep Young in that position. So that was that. But it began my father's very long relationship with the UN, even though he had always understood its possibilities.
And the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Institute, and the Four Freedoms Party in Roosevelt Island. I had a conversation with your father about Roosevelt because that's the mists of time to me as well. In a final minute, what did your father want us to remember about FDR and Eleanor?
He wanted to remind us that those of public spirit, those who believed in a role of government to improve the conditions of people's lives, that they needed to be understood in the context of a history. And he'd love to say, you know, history is an unending argument. And I want to remind people, I thought of that, as did my father, on January 6th, a day that will live in infamy because of insurrection and others. But that was also the anniversary of the Four Freedoms speech. So you can see securing the Roosevelt legacy is important for its time, but for today in terms of an alternative American, I would say dominant American history, countervailing force to the worst tendencies of America. So I think in that sense, people should go visit the Four Freedoms Park on the Roosevelt Island. My father spent some 10, 15 years ensuring that the last Louis Kahn Memorial, famous extraordinary architect's memorial, would be built. It's really a civic, spiritual square.
William Jacobus Vandenhoevel, April 14th, 1930, June 15th, 2021, Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine.
Thank you, John.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.